Shalom uvracha, and welcome to the Marshall Portnoy Show. Good morning, everyone. This is Marshall Portnoy. We are halfway through the Hebrew month of Av, and that means we are getting closer and closer to the last month of the popular year, the month of Elul. Our hearts and minds are beginning to focus on the new year and the Day of Atonement. Time to think about those New Year's resolutions and being a better person in the year ahead. Well, that might mean getting involved in tzedakah. Tzedakah, that's an interesting Hebrew word. Its general intent is doing good, doing the right thing, charity. But its literal meaning is righteousness, being just. Today, I'll be talking with a few Philadelphians who are involved in sacred work that might give you some ideas. Cheryl Barish Ehrlich heads up a fascinating organization called the Hebrew Free Loan Society. Maddie Malice, our first guest, is with Federation Early Learning Services. Finally, Esther Kutash will bring us up to date on the renovation and expansion of the first municipal monument to the 6 million, one that began in 1964, that is, more than half a century ago in our town. Tzedakah can mean giving your time or your money, and it can also mean just paying attention to the needs of others and acting accordingly. So, great show today. Enjoy and learn, and right now, let's enjoy Naomi Miller. Ole, ole, let's reach out and touch each other. What about this powerful word, tzedek, justice, tzaddik, a righteous person, tzedakah, acts of righteousness, charity, good deeds. The very book of the Bible we are now reading in these weeks after Tisha B'Av says, Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirdof. Those are the words in Devarim, Deuteronomy. When a word is repeated in the Torah like that, Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirdof, we know it has special emphasis and significance. So we are told not just to perform justice, but to pursue it. As in the ethics of our ancestors, we are told to pursue peace. In other words, take every opportunity we can to see that justice prevails. Here's Rabbi Moshe Willig and family singing our special word for today, Tzedek. Book of Psalms, chapter 119. The righteousness of your decrees is everlasting. If I can understand that, then I can live. I am calling out to you with all my heart. O God, won't you answer me?
Sachali olam, avineni v'yechet. Tzedekein bo, sachali olam, avineni v'yechet. Tzedekein bo, sachali olam, avineni v'yechet. Tzedekein bo, sachali olam, avineni v'yechet. Karasi, karasi bechalei, haneini, haneini Hashem. Chukecha et zara, chukecha et zara. Karasi, karasi bechalei, haneini, haneini Hashem. Chukecha et zara, chukecha et zara.
Tzedekei v'ayisach ha'le'olam, ha'vineini v'yechet. Tzedekei v'ayisach ha'le'olam, ha'vineini v'yechet.
Thanks yet again, Rav Todot Ot Pa'am. Thanks again to academic translator Chani Davis, who consults on the show all the way from Jerusalem, and who did much of the background research for this segment on Tzedakah. As Av becomes Elul, the shofar is blown every morning, and we begin to concentrate on ways we can do better in the year ahead. One of these ways is Tzedakah. Righteousness, doing the right thing. Today, three members of our community will tell you about their work. Each is inspiring in her own way. Each interview is also an invitation for you to join in the work of community and in the work of Tikkun Olam, making the world a better place. And we'll start with Maddie Malis of FELS, F-E-L-S, which stands for Federation Early Learning Services, a nonprofit agency which has provided quality programs to the Jewish and secular communities since 1911. Maddie, we are so glad you are here. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
All right. In a nutshell, tell us about this 100-year-old-plus organization and explain why so many programs which open and close several years later, but now your program has been in existence for 107 years. How is that possible?
It is unbelievable, but certainly explainable. We are very fortunate to have a dedicated staff and an incredible board of directors who've been charged with and successfully accepted their responsibility of overseeing this organization. In fact, I think we probably have one of the longest retention rates for board members. Mary Burke Gutman, who was our first president, has served on this board for 64 years.
My goodness.
She recently passed away, and it's remarkable of her commitment and her steadfast ideals that have supported quality care.
So what a blessing she was to our community. What is it that we do in Federation Early Learning Services? What's it all about?
Providing the highest quality child care and early childhood education is paramount to our mission. Our locations have changed over 107 years. We began in South Philadelphia. I'll fast forward to the 1980s when dual career families were searching for quality child care, and that really spurred our expansion into the suburbs. We currently have 7 locations. 4 of them are based in synagogues. We feel that partnering with synagogues in that way really helps to meet the mission of both of our organizations.
How many children do you service?
Typically, over a course of a year, there are 1,000 children.
Wow.
Beginning at 6 weeks of age. And a lot of people are like, oh, my God, how can you take those little pizzolas?
Yeah.
But parents are working and need to get back to work. A portion of our families are low income and living below or at poverty level. The fact that they can go to work and feel secure that their kids are being loved and nurtured, it's what it's all about.
Do kids have to be low income? Do kids have to be Jewish to be serviced by FELS?
Good question. They do not. We, as you said in your opening, are committed to both the Jewish and secular communities. And, you know, in my 45 years at the organization.
45. Mazel tov.
Thank you. Often people will say to me, well, why would a non-Jew want to have their child in your program because you're, quote-unquote, under Jewish auspices? And time again, the answer that we hear when parents are enrolling and deciding where they want to put their children is the Jews really value education, and we know that you're going to do it right.
If people want further information about the organization or would like to support it, where may they go?
I would suggest that they go to our website, felskids.org, F-E-L-S-K-I-D-S, and they'll be able to get information quite easily around our curriculum, our philosophy, our values, Jewish content, and certainly if they want to contribute to further our mission, that would be wonderful.
A great example of tzedakah for the season ahead. Maddie Malice, thank you so much for coming on the show.
You're quite welcome.
Radio and music and writing make me very dependent on the computer, a miracle that's made our lives so much richer, more efficient. We're able to do so much because of it, well, until we can't because something happened. It doesn't sync. Suddenly it doesn't process. It doesn't turn on. It doesn't turn off. It doesn't copy. It doesn't paste. Or much worse, we've lost hours and hours of hard work, gone, because something happened. Well, I've had my share of computer mishaps, but never a computer disaster. And that's because of the good people at One Stop Technology Solutions. Best of all, I don't have to schlep the computer. Not that I could if I wanted to, because it's too heavy. So One Stop Technology Solutions comes right to me. It's truly one stop, that one stop being my telephone. I just dial 215-924-5191, and that's the story, my friends. They come to me, as they have been doing for more than 20 years. It may take them 5 minutes or 5 hours, or rarely. They schlep the unit to their magic laboratory for about 5 days, but the problem is solved. In fact, in these more than 2 decades, there's never been a problem they have been unable to solve, and they are as adept at Mac as they are at PC. Their service to you starts even before the purchase of your laptop or desktop, because they will take time with you without charge to determine what computer is best for you. Once you select it, they will install it and instruct you with charge, I'm afraid, but you will not be afraid of your computer. It will be a dependable friend, as it should be. They will then continue to provide help and advice and the all-important backup you cannot do without, unless you want to be without your hard work, which you don't. They can even magically recover data in a way you never thought and I never thought possible. Friends, this may be the most important call you make this summer. Start your business or academic year right, because the best computer in the world is only as good as its support. And how nice when you can get 100% of that support with one stop. I don't know how they do what they do, but I know they do it. The website is onestopcs.com. That's onestopcs.com. And the number again, 215-924-5191. That's onestopcs.com, 215-924-5191. Make that call. This is Marshall Portnoy on WWDB AM 860. And I have the pleasure and the privilege of spending some time with Cheryl Barish Ehrlich. Cheryl's a pretty important person. She wears a lot of hats in our community. Today, we're going to concentrate on one that is, in its way, the most significant and helpful. And I think she would agree of all the things she does. This is probably what brings a great amount of pride and pleasure. Before we get into the Free Loan Society, Cheryl, just give us a profile of all that you do in, with, and for our community.
You know, I'm very privileged to have the opportunity to work with lots of Jewish agencies here doing great work in the Lower Merion community, bringing synagogues together and fostering collaboration. But the work that I'm currently doing with the Hebrew Free Loan Society of Greater Philadelphia has truly been able for me to bring together all of the things that I love about the Jewish community and value, which is one of our values, of course, is helping each other and being there for each other and making the world more just. And the Hebrew Free Loan Society does its part for that.
The history of our people, I think, profiles many such efforts of being able to give free interest loans to people that may have a temporary need. That goes along with our idea of tzedakah. We don't have a word for charity. It's just called doing the right thing. So how does the Hebrew Free Loan Society of Greater Philadelphia work?
So we're a mandate of who we are and what drives us comes right from Torah. Give a loan to your Jewish people, but do not act as a creditor, exact no interest from them. So Hebrew Free Loan Society is here to provide a loan that can serve as a bridge to stability for some families in their time of need. Our loans are all no interest and no fee, and they're available to Jews who live in our current area here around Philadelphia and four counties in New Jersey.
How does it work? What is the process of obtaining or donating funds for this purpose?
It's very interesting to note that the Hebrew Free Loan Society is sustained only by our donors. All of our donors find the value in the work that we do in helping individuals in the community and donate to us. So they'll find us and make a donation, and we're always grateful for that. For people who are borrowers, who are looking for a way to send their children to Jewish camp, go to college, buy a computer, get dental work done and go to the doctor, they'll reach out to us and they'll find us on the web. They'll hear it from a friend, find a way to reach out and find us maybe through a social service agency and come to us and say, how do I apply for a loan to help me move forward in my life?
If you want to come to the Hebrew Free Loan Society of Greater Philadelphia, or
if you're in need and you need to borrow some funds, is the website or the process, the communication, the same?
Certainly, you can go directly on the website. It's www.hflphilly, that's P-H-I-L-L-Y, philly.org, and find out ways to donate and actually begin the process right on the website by filling out an inquiry, and you will be contacted.
Can you repeat the website?
Certainly. It's H as in Hebrew, F as in free, L as in loan, philly, P-H-I-L-L-Y.org. You can send us an email at info@hflphilly.org. Or if you want, you can give us a call. We have a machine, and you can leave a message, and someone will get back to you. Our phone number is 267-709-9652.
Is there a limit to what a person can borrow within a given time period?
We have a traditional loan that is available for up to $7,500. And you know, it's interesting, when we began Hebrew Free Loan, the loans were at $2,500. And at that time, 34 years ago, that was the pinnacle of money that people wanted to borrow. And now things have changed. There's more need. So our loans are up to $7,500, which people can borrow. And the repayment is over a period of 3 years if they borrow the full amount.
So taking it back about 34, 35 years, let's say to 1980, was the corpus of money available to borrowers better, worse, or about the same?
Well, in 1980, the Hebrew Free Loan hadn't started as yet, and families had seen the need and came together and said, we need to help Jews in our community. How are we going to do that? So they pooled their own personal funds and started the Hebrew Free Loan Society in 1984.
So it's exactly 34 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Cheryl, I know one very exciting aspect of the holy work that you do, the sacred work that you do, enables couples who cannot have children to borrow money from the Hebrew Free Loan Society toward the goal of fertility and eventually having a family. That's wonderful. Please talk about that.
You know, the challenges of infertility are great across the community. 1 in 8 couples really are affected by infertility challenges. But for the Jewish community, it's higher. It's 1 in 6 couples. The Be a Family Fertility Fund provides no interest, no fee loans to those in the Jewish community struggling with infertility. This loan is up to $15,000. And those who are struggling know the cost of a cycle of IVF and know what a big help this would be to these families who might have to go through multiple cycles or do other treatments in order to create a Jewish family.
Wonderful. How marvelous.
And we also administer the R&B Business Loan Fund from Congregation Beth Orr. And we give loans to entrepreneurs and to people expanding their business. This is a secular loan. You don't have to be Jewish to apply. And people can come to this loan for up to $15,000, and we're very excited about the different businesses around our community that we've been able to support.
Cheryl Barish Ehrlich, Kol HaKavod, what important work you do, and thanks so much for coming on the show today. I do want to give our listeners just once more the important contact information, which is www.hflphilly.org. And the telephone number, leave a message at 267-709-9652. Cheryl, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Vor dem dein Spiel, spiel du's deine Lidl, tanzen das mit dem Neinschen. In der Karre hat man dreht sich hin, du's Herz, das dreht sich nur, wenn man tanzt am Neinschen.
This is Marshall Portnoy on WWDB AM 860. So glad you are with us today, and very glad that Rita Ratzin is with us as well. And we thought that today we would do some familiar expressions that we may think we know the meaning of and the etymology of, that is the origin, but maybe we don't. Anyway, when we were walking into the studio today, I noticed that you were alone, that your lovely and wonderful husband, whom I often see, is not with you. And I said to you, do you have two cars?
And I said, Avada Vuzden.
Avada Vuzden. In other words, of course. What else?
What else?
And
then I said.
Yeah, and then you said, Vuz Retir.
Vuz Retir, which means, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about? Now, how do you, can you separate that? So, Vuz.
Vuz is what? The infinitive word reden means to speak or to talk.
Okay.
So, vus red ir. Now, I've got to tell you something else.
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about is how it translates. But when I said ir means you,
mm-hmm,
in the respectful form.
Right.
And vus red stu is the familiar form. And in our Yiddish language and the culture it comes from, I wouldn't dream of speaking in the familiar,
mm-hmm,
to a person that I know needs the respect that's due them. And you laughed at that in the American way.
I still do. Okay.
But it is the beautiful Yiddish language that needs to be remembered at all times. There is an order to life, as we just discussed.
Yes, it's very much like French. Now, if you were to say, what are you talking about, but it was to somebody like your husband, you'd say,
Vous retzdi.
Oh, vous retzdi. Now, does the verb change when you go to the familiar?
Okay. There is that S in there that,
yeah,
makes it familiar. Vous retzdi. And vous retir is the combination of the two words makes it familiar or respectful.
Okay. Then if you were to ask me, are you drinking water?
Trinkt ihr Wasser or trinkst du Wasser?
Okay, so that changes. That was trink du.
Trinkst du. So in the familiar is trinkst du Wasser, trinkst du Wasser, and it sounds like trinkst du Wasser, and trinkt ihr Wasser. Did,
okay,
you hear the T there?
I did.
And the,
so,
S in the other form?
So it's trinkst
du,
du or trinkt.
Right.
Ear. Oh,
right.
Very, very nice. Okay. So we were going to talk about another word. In fact, I heard you say it a little bit earlier today, and that's the wonderful, marvelous word, taka.
Taka. Of course. What else?
And that reminds me of that wonderful joke, but you could maybe tell it better in Yiddish. But in English, it goes, a man that has made a lot of money and he's become very successful, and he wants to preen before his mother and father. So he gets himself a yacht and he gets himself a uniform, and he says, well, Mom, Dad, I'm a regular captain, don't you think? And they say to him, by me you're a captain, by your mother you're a captain, but by a captain, you know, how would you say in Yiddish, you think you're taka a captain, but a captain might not think you're taka a captain.
Die tracht taka, die bist der Kapitän. Aber der Kapitän tracht nicht, die bist sehr größer Kapitän.
So, taka meaning indeed.
Indeed,
yeah,
certainly.
You might think you are indeed a captain, but the captain might have other ideas. And then we have this marvelous word, epis.
Epis. You can use that in so many different ways, yes. Epis means something, and it could mean a little bit, it could mean a lot, it can mean what are you talking about? First, that's the epis. What are you talking about, whatever it is you're saying?
So
I don't believe you.
Give us some examples.
Like I mentioned, first, that's the epis. And ich darf epis a bissel zup. I need a little bit of soup, just a little bit, is where the word epis has to do with. I need a little bit of soup. Ich darf epis a bissel soup.
A couple of minutes ago, I used the word zitz. In other words, give somebody a little push towards something. Is that Yiddish?
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
Zitz, with the I sound, means sit. Zetz, with the S sound, is punch, little punch.
So I've been doing it wrong my whole life. Now
that's very popular for Jews who think they're speaking Yiddish.
I'm learning it. It's a zetz, not a zitz.
That's right. Zitz is to sit.
Okay.
Zetz is a punch.
Okay. So let's do both. In the imperative, speaking to someone respectfully, you want to say, please sit.
Zitz, I should say. Ich beteich setz ich weg. So,
there's more words.
Ich beteich means please. The English please.
Ich beteich. It sounds like I beg you.
Well, it sounds like I beg you, but even in the British English, when they say I beg you, they're not begging.
Beg on your knees.
Exactly.
It just means it's a figure of speech.
Exactly. Yeah. The same idea for Yiddish.
Okay.
When you say ich beteich, it's like saying in English please. So the word, extra word, avek, you might mean, all by itself means away, except when you tell someone to sit down, you're saying zetzich avek. It means sit down. I know it sounds odd to interpret that into English, but zetzich avek means sit down. If you say sit, you say zitz.
And you probably wouldn't say that to somebody in the respectful. I mean,
that's not respectful.
That's not
no.
respectful.
No.
Okay.
It's a command.
Okay. Now, if you said to your student or your child or something like that, sit.
Say zitz.
Zitz.
But if you're saying to a student or to a child, very nicely, sit, you'd be saying zetzich avek.
Zetzich avek.
Zetzich avek means sit down.
Okay. But it has a nuance of politeness with it. Okay.
Yes. The verb sit, zitz, needs, depending on who you're speaking to, you are going to say zitz or zitzt.
And zitzt
is respectful.
Respectful. And that reminds me, since you bring up avek, something that my mother probably said to me a few times in my life, gay avek, which means go away. Okay. We have one or two more. Ajlob.
Ay vey. Ajlob. That's a favorite word, isn't it? Lots of people want to know, what does that really, really mean? Well, ajlob is a coarse, uneducated, oaf sort of a person.
Does it have any relationship to one's physical appearance?
You can make it into that if you are describing, but it is a slovenly, sloppy, messy, oafy sort of a person.
Chaleria.
It's a nasty person that it actually stems from the medieval cholera. So that was horrible. And the word came from that situation. And so a chaleria is a terrible person.
May you use the word chaleria to refer to a situation?
Yes, okay. I was just going to add that as well. So a situation, or generally I would hear it as about a person. Okay. A chaleria. Okay. It's like almost like a curse.
Someone you don't want to have anything to do with. Okay. What about the word nebbish?
Nebbish is a fool, a simpleton, nothing goes well, just moving along and shuffling along. Sad sack.
And finally, to end today's broadcast, those marvelous, marvelous words, schlemiel and schlemazel. How do you differentiate them linguistically, etymologically, and so forth?
I don't know whether there is a difference between a schlemiel and a schlemazel. They're very little difference. A ne'er-do-well, just nothing goes right.
Schlemiel is more somebody that's sort of prone to just bad luck.
Simpleton.
And does schlemazel have any relation to the idea of not having any mazel, any luck?
Of course. Someone who's out of luck, and you kind of put them together, there's very little difference from one to the other. If you're luckless, nothing goes well for you.
In Judaism, we always have to end on a good note.
Yes.
So why don't you tell us about the marvelous word, mensch?
Oh, mensch is a lovely word. A mensch is a fine, upstanding, best person in the community.
And I have often wondered, because I want to make that reference to a woman. Is it okay to say she's a mensch?
You can say it. You can say it. That's something more up to date. Usually a mensch was used for masculine.
But I can call you a mensch if I want, right?
I would accept that.
Okay. Thanks so much. You can reach mensch Rita at rjratzen@yahoo.com. Adank.
Mr. Favos, it's a machaya.
This is Marshall Portnoy at WWDB AM 860 here in Philadelphia. Very few people know that our monument in Philadelphia, that is the monument to the 6 million Jewish martyrs, was the very first public memorial to the Holocaust in the United States. It was a monument that originated in 1964. You can see it at 16th and Arch at the beginning of the parkway. It was commissioned by a group of Holocaust survivors and prominent business and community leaders, and created by Nathan Rappaport. And I must tell you that I am very freely and unashamedly paraphrasing from a beautiful paragraph written by the chairman of the Philadelphia Holocaust Remembrance Foundation, and that is David Adelman, who I hope will be on our show in just a few months as you and I together, listeners, celebrate and commemorate the development of this renovated Holocaust monument on the Benjamin Franklin Parkway. This expansion is very important to our presence as a city and, of course, as a Jewish community, as David says, a thought-provoking and engaging civic space dedicated to remembrance and education. And today I am very privileged to be sitting next to Esther Kutash. Esther is not only the director of the Philadelphia Holocaust Remembrance Foundation, but she is a vice president of Fairmount Ventures, whom the foundation engaged to tell its very important story. Esther, I want so much to welcome you to the show today.
Thank you so much. I'm very happy to be here.
It's wonderful to have you here. What's been going on? How close are we to putting the finishing touches on the newly renovated statue and memorial on the parkway?
Construction began in early 2018 and will be completed by the fall. And we are very excited to bring this plaza to the public, both to reintroduce the monument, but to also engage the public with all the new design and interpretive features of the plaza.
Visitors to Philadelphia, of course, they visit the Franklin Institute, they visit the Philadelphia Museum of Art, and many people know about our Holocaust Memorial. They may not know that it was the first in the country. But what was behind the decision to expand the plaza?
Mm-hmm. So the Philadelphia community has long recognized the importance of Holocaust remembrance as the commitment to erect the 6 million Jewish martyr statue shows. So as the time is diminishing the voices of the last living survivors, it's very important for us, a Jewish community and the community at large, to figure out ways in which we can engage the public in Holocaust education. And as we unfortunately see the public rhetoric moving towards more hateful ways and public discourse, I think that our commitment to educate on the lessons of the past is ever increasing.
I've heard that there's going to actually be train tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Are these the very tracks?
Yes, they are.
Really?
They are the originals from the train tracks that led to a deportation and death camp called Treblinka. And they are going to be embedded in the pavement of the plaza to symbolize the deportation and to show to visitors the systematic way that the Nazis approached the deportations of many millions of people. When you, as a visitor, will be standing by the plaza, these physical material reminders of the past will help you really understand the, again, the systematic way with which persecution happened.
So will the architectural footprint of the monument be larger than we remember it?
No, the monument itself will stay the same. It's the physical site around the monument that is really changing. So up until now, there was an elevated surface surrounding the original monument. But right now, all of it is becoming public.
But there will be no inside space.
No, it's all an outdoors, public, accessible site. Our board thought that creating a place that is open and free for all is very, very important. So that's why a public memorial park was born.
Are there other artifacts from the time and place that we're discussing?
Yes. There is going to be the Theresienstadt tree, which is an original sapling from a historical tree that was planted by children in the Theresienstadt camp in the Czech Republic during the Holocaust. And the story of the trees are very inspiring because these children received the sapling of this original tree and planted it really knowing in the early 1940s that they may never survive to see it mature. And they really nurtured it and cared for it, did some drawings about it and wrote some poems about it. And unfortunately, of the 15,000 children who were in this camp, only a few hundred survived. But the story of the tree lives on because a sapling will be planted in Philadelphia in this Holocaust Memorial Park and can be also found in several other cities throughout the world.
These children, without knowing it, planted for us, and it's very, very poignant and very, very touching. Are any of these poems or written works extant that these children did?
Yes, they are available. They were published in a book first in the 1960s.
Will they be on exhibit next to the tree, or this hasn't?
Yes, actually, a quote from a poem is part of one of our information kiosks that shares the story of the tree. One of the very interesting features that we are doing with this site is not only these physical interpretive symbols will be part of the plaza now, but we're also bringing in a digital technology through an innovative platform called the iWalk app in partnership with the USC Shoah Foundation. And what this app will do is it taps into USC Shoah Foundation's massive archive of 55,000 Holocaust testimonials that were recorded starting in the 1990s and then in the 2000s. And as you will visit the plaza and walk through its interpretive features, if you downloaded this app through your smartphone or tablet device, you are going to be notified of content that talks about each of these symbolic features of the site. So when you are going to be by the Treblinka train tracks, mm-hmm. then you're going to be seeing testimonials that were recorded of by those people who were on those very trains that led to Treblinka. And to further make the connection between place and the physical location of Philadelphia, we are bringing survival testimonies of those people who not only were on those train tracks and survived the war, but also who later settled down in Philadelphia and found refuge in America.
And when will the app be available?
It will be available, hopefully, by the time the plaza opens.
Which is going to be when?
Which is going to be in October 2018.
Soon.
Very, very,
very
soon.
Very, very soon.
Yes.
What's happening in terms of funding?
This has been a true private-public partnership, mm-hmm. And we are very, very fortunate to have the support of the state through a RACP grant, as well as funding from the City of Philadelphia City Council, the mayor's support. We have been very fortunate in coordinating this project with the Department of Parks and Recreation. The rest of the funding comes from private donors as well as private foundations. It's a large project with a significant portion of the funds dedicated for endowment so that we can take care in perpetuity of the maintenance needs of the site as well as the programmatic and educational needs ongoingly.
If any of our listeners would like to make a donation to the foundation or to the Holocaust Memorial, how may they do so?
Thank you for bringing that up. They should visit PhilaHolocaustMemorial.org. Once again, that's PhilaHolocaustMemorial.org to see how they can support this project.
Sounds wonderful and so meaningful. And all I can say to you is Kol HaKavod, Mazel Tov, on this incredible mitzvah that you are making possible for our community, for our city, and for humankind, and for all of the people that visit our wonderful city of Philadelphia. Thank you so much, Esther.
Thank you, Toda Rabba.
Alo Davar.
Shining stars and cloudless skies of blue, through the window crack I see you, and I long to run and touch the sun. Dear diary, what else can I do? Growing up and longing for a friend, hoping that our secret life will end in words of light written in the night. My thoughts and hopes and dreams to you I send. I still believe, in spite of everything, that people really are good at heart. And the skies will be bright, and it will all come right, and a springtime of peace will start. Dreaming of the precious air of freedom, waking and I feel like crying. There's no place to go, but still I know. Skies are clearing, birds are flying. Happiness and love that I can share in a world of truth and beauty. When the thunder's near and when I fear, the light of morning dawn will come to me. I still believe, in spite of everything, that people really are good at heart. And the skies will be bright, and it will all come right, and a springtime of peace will start. And the skies will be bright, and it will all come right, and a springtime of peace will.
Thanks so much to everyone who participated on today's show. Maddie Malice of FELS, Federation Early Learning Services. Cheryl Barish Ehrlich, the Hebrew Free Loan Society. And Esther Kutash, representing the Holocaust Memorial on the Parkway. We're so looking forward to its rededication in October. And thanks always to our Yiddish maven who gets you craving for Yiddish, Rita Ratzin. Next week, vacation time for moi.
But if you missed our show entitled Movies is Magic, you'll not want to miss movie maven Irv Slifkin, and you are in for a treat. Rita will be back with memories of Chelm, that legendary city of foolish people. And I'll be back in 2 weeks with a very special interview, a brand new edition of Our Funny People, featuring a warm, delightful, and talented individual, Andy Cowan, on the writing team of Seinfeld, Cheers, and Third Rock from the Sun. Andy has a new book out entitled Banging My Head Against the Wall, and it is hilarious and poignant at the same time. So join me, Andy, and local comedian Stanley Eisenberg as we look at humor, wit, and comedy. We are indeed a funny people, with lots of funny people among us. Write me at P.O. Box 2786, Ballackinwood 19004, or at marshallportnoyshow@gmail.com. Share your birthdays, anniversaries, the special events in your life, and tell us what you'd like to have us feature on the Marshall Portnoy Show. For now, this has been Marshall Portnoy. Shalom uvracha, peace and blessing.
Shabbat.